Redundancy is a term that we'll hear when we talk about setting elements of a product in parallel. But there's many different flavors to redundancy. A block diagram is a common tool for setting this up. But oftentimes we deal with, let's say that using that road analogy I was using earlier, that if we have a bridge that's out, maybe there is a temporary bridge, but it has a weight limit. And so we need then yet another path that has the carrying capability to do it. Or we set up a temporary solution that provides the backup. An example of this might be that we're going to share the load so that if we set up a circuit that, or say a power supply, we may have two or three or four power supplies providing power to the system. But we may only need two of those power supplies to be available and operating in order for the system to operate. We don't necessarily need all four, which would be a series system, but we need more than one, which would be a parallel system. So let's take a look at the math that's involved with these more complex parallel type structures. A common terminology we use is a K out of N. And basically, it means I need some number out of the total number in parallel in order for the system to operate. So in this case, I've got three on the diagram for a parallel structure, and they're all exactly the same. So let's say it's three hard drives. But I only need, say, two of those hard drives to operate in order for the system to be considered functional. So any one of those can fail, and depending on the design, I may be able to replace or repair the faulty unit while the other two are continuing to operate. In that case, we have a fault-tolerant system, plus we have a relatively high availability system because of the ability to execute repairs or replacements without taking the system down. Now, the math isn't all that difficult. Let's take a closer look at it. It's basically taking a look at what's the reliability of my individual systems, its unreliability. And so if I take the sum of all of these combinations of either all three working, two out of the three working, or one out of three working in any particular order, allows us then to estimate what the overall system reliability is. So we need to define K and N, which is how many have to be working out of how many are available. And so there's a, I want to say, I'm drawing a blank between combination or what's the other one? Permutation. So I think these are combinations because it gives us a smaller number having this I factorial here. But be that as may, there's this counting piece that we learned about in the probability section, which I believe is combinations. And then I'm looking at reliability and unreliability of my terms. Now, in this particular case, it's using the exponential distribution, e to the negative lambda t, but it could well be the Weibull distribution or whatever distribution is appropriate for the blocks we're dealing with. So this is a reliability term, and this is the CDF for the exponential, or vice versa. Almost always get this backwards because of the way the exponential distribution works. So double check that. These two might be reversed. And if you caught that, get extra credit. But by the way, either way, I have how many units are working times how many units are not working in these various combinations that allows us then to calculate the system reliability values. So math isn't all that difficult. It's just a matter of remembering which one's reliable and which one's not, and working out the number of combinations. Now, there's other kinds of redundancies. And this one, the example that I often think of is a backup generator. A friend of mine back in Michigan was heading south for the winter, which I don't blame him. It's cold in Michigan. But he wanted his, and he knew that the local area has power outages. And one of the consequences of a power outage of any significant duration is that his basement would flood. And so there's a sub pump that turns on when it detects water, but it's electrically driven. So if there's no power, his basement was likely to flood. So the solution is to add a backup system, a generator of some sort, such that if there's a power outage, the freezer and the sub pump and some of the other critical systems would continue to operate, say the heater for the home at some setting. And so if the system detects that the power from the grid is not available, it will turn on the generator and provide power to the system. So we would call that a standby reliability, and it's being operated, see if I have my pen, by a switch. Usually there's some kind of sensing that goes on, and then it turns on the backup unit. So the reliability of that is really the reliability of the first system plus the reliability of the switch. And I'm sorry, this one's got perfect switching, so it's the reliability then of our standby unit. And it's conditional on when and how often that standby unit goes. So the math can be a little more complicated than shown here. But then, of course, you can have multiple standby units. So that if the second standby fails after the first one does, I still have a path on the third system. The advantage is I don't need to operate the generator full time. It only operates when, in this particular case, a perfect switch says to turn on, and then it turns on and fills the need. So a little bit different math than the previous ones, but it takes into account, in this case, a perfect switching system. So it's similar to redundancy system or parallel systems, but just slightly different. Now, I can have a system that has unequal failure rates, and in this case, perfect switching. So then I need to account for the difference in the failure rates for our various systems. And so the math gets a little bit more difficult, a little bit more bookkeeping in the summations that occur. But nothing too terrible here. It's just a matter of keeping track. Now, in this particular case, it's using an exponential distribution, which keeps the math a little bit simpler because it deals with failure rates directly in setting up the proportions that are available for one system or the next system. So let me back up a little bit. This is the reliability of my first system. But when it fails, then I need the reliability of the second system to be turned on. So in some regards, it's a conditional probability, but it allows us then to say, what's the reliability of my second system, which is going to be slightly different than my first, but also only operating when the second one, or I'm sorry, R1 fails. This would be more applicable for using a generator to back up your grid's power source. But then there's also the concept of, well, when I have imperfect switching, the ability of the sensor and the circuitry to turn on the standby isn't always perfect. So then there's this element of the reliability of the switch itself gets factored into it. So if they're equal failure rates and perfect switching, it's a pretty simple formula, but it's not all that much more complicated if I have unequal failure rates and imperfect switching. It's just a bit of bookkeeping to figure out which one to use in which case. A couple different formulas here for when I have a single item in parallel. Now there's another whole sequence of redundancy, and that's where you're sharing the load. So I have, say, two power supplies, and I only really need one power supply to do it. So the math in this one will become very similar to the K out of N, but you can work out different scenarios of K out of N, say 1 out of 2, and in this case it's with an exponential distribution, to give us this R1, R2 shared load system in sequence. Now, part of this, you could be taking into account the change in failure rate as you go to a single load, a single item carrying the full load. It adds another wrinkle to this consideration. So it could be, you know, a mix of standby using shared load, but then when it goes to a single system, then the failure rate for that single system with the higher load changes. And so this can get complicated ad nauseum. It's a matter of thinking through what happens when, given your particular design and configuration. Now, keep in mind that we often assume the switch is perfect, especially with a backup generator, for example. Now, there's two kinds of things that can go wrong. One is the failure rate of that switch, and say the startup of the generator circuit might be the weakest link in your system, and it's something to investigate rather than assume. And second is keep in mind that whatever causes the first system to fail may have also damaged or caused the damage to the switch or to your second system. The Fukushima experience with the tsunami was that it damaged the main power for the cooling systems, but it also damaged the generators that were expected to be the backup for the loss of power. So it was a common cause set of stresses that caused damage to both systems, primary and backup systems. But it doesn't necessarily need to take out the entire backup system. It just has to interrupt the path of when it would initiate or start. So the sensors or the initiation circuitry or the whatever is needed to bring it online. There's all kinds of ways that adding the complexity of a backup system can add less reliability overall to your system, depending on exactly how it's executed. Next section we'll take, now you thought redundancy might have added a little complexity to the system, but there are even more complex styles of doing reliability structuring of a system.